Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, and this is Missions Month, and we emphasize missions all month long, and everything this morning is geared towards missions, including our baptisms. That's right, everything we're doing is geared towards what missions is really all about. When someone's on a mission, what does that mean? It means they have a goal in mind and they're shooting for that goal and that goal alone. I can always tell when my wife is on a mission. Have some of you noticed that? Okay, you can tell when Naomi is on a mission. Her shoulders are up like this, okay? She's looking straight ahead, and she, boom, don't get in her way. All right, I can always tell. All right. And missions, as far as Scripture goes, is same thing. It's having a goal in mind. The goal is Jesus Christ. It's Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption, payment through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Without that forgiveness paid for in Christ's blood, we have only hell to look forward to. Because what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we now have the free gift of salvation offered. Anybody who receives that gift by faith has redemption out of hell and into glory forever and ever. Folks, that's the mission. That is our mission. Okay? And while the world throws many obstacles at you, I think the biggest obstacle is always going to be you. You will be your biggest obstacle when it comes to being missions-minded. There's going to be obstructions to your thinking, and there's a big one when it comes to missions, and it has put a damper on missions and getting this gospel message out. And we got to get rid of this obstacle and blow it out. When my dad was a teenager back in the 1960s, he and his buddies used to take potatoes and go around to neighbors and people's cars and shove them in the exhaust pipe. Do you know what that does when you fire up the car? Builds up pressure and boom, sends that potato about 300 yards down the street. They thought this was great fun, okay? Well, that's what we got to do. We got to blow out this potato of an obstacle so that our missions minded is clear. We got to be clear in our missions and our way of thinking missions, okay? Here's a big obstacle, and this is what I'm talking about here. You say, people are naturally on their way to hell. We got to have Christ save us. What about the person who has never heard of Jesus Christ? Will that person still go to hell? Now, when you face a question like that, and it's a good question, okay, the temptation is going to be to interpret Scripture in light of the problem of the question. That's an error. Can I suggest that you interpret the problem in light of Scripture, not the other way around? In other words, instead of starting with this problem and then concluding what Scripture must mean in light of this problem, why don't we just start with the Word of God and work out from there, okay? That's how you deal with problems. I know problems are difficult. I hate math problems, okay? Me and math do not get along. In fact, as of recent, my new motto to math is, hey, I'm not a therapist, solve your own problems, all right? But when it comes to the problems of Bible interpretation, man, we got to deal with them. We got to look at this and figure it out. So with our question in mind, what happens to the individual who never hears of Christ? Is he still on his way to hell? If you interpret Scripture in light of this question, we may conclude, no, such individuals who have never heard the gospel will not go to hell. But let's instead start with what the Word of God says and clear our thinking on this problem. Because, first of all, clear thought number one, there is the command behind missions. It's commanded. It's not optional. Matthew 28, this is Christ's own words before he ascended to heaven. He told the disciples around him, and he's talking to us. He said in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. There's your command. Make disciples. Make followers of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Well, you got to go. You got to get out there. Don't expect them to come to you saying, hey, I really want to follow Jesus. Can you tell me how to do that? No, you got to go to people. It says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. That means when they come to know Christ, man, baptize them. We're going to see that today. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You got to get out there. Bring people to the Lord when they trust in the Lord. See that they follow the Lord in believers' baptism as a show of their faith. And then continue teaching them. We don't just bring people to the Lord and then say good luck any more than you would do that with a baby. Well, the baby's born. Mission accomplished. Good luck. Sink or swim. No, you got to take care of that baby. Teach that baby. Grow that baby. And when someone comes to know Christ, well, that's a baby in Christ. So you got to teach them. But the command is to make a disciple of that individual. We're commanded to do this. Whether it's the person living next door to you or the Aborigine deep in the bushes of Australia, okay? To refuse for any reason not to take the gospel, to not go on a mission to spread the gospel, is to disobey Christ's command. So you say, when we say that, well, you know, if people haven't heard of Jesus Christ and they're not going to hell, then if that's true, then by bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ and they'd reject it, you just condemn them to hell. Should have left them in their ignorance. Then they'd be safe, right? Except Christ said, you go do this, because they're not safe. And that's because of the need behind the command. Number two, clear thought number two, is the need behind the command. You can find that in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And this is talking about all humanity here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God's a frightening phrase, isn't it? An almighty, perfect, holy, loving, righteous God. And when he's wrathful, bad things. Have you ever had somebody who's just, they're just a wonderful person, but you don't want to be on their wrathful side because that means you've done wrong. Naomi was like this with her dad. She loved her dad. She just loved him, and he just could do no wrong when she was a little girl. You know, she said a spanking wasn't something she often got, because when it came to her dad, all he had to do was look at her when she'd done wrong, and that look broke her heart. Yeah. The wrath of dad is heartbreaking to her. And that's how it is with believers. With unbelievers, it's more than heartbreaking. It's actually a frightening thing, because he says in verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What's he talking about? Unbelievers. People by nature, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. People by nature stand against God's wrath. Verse 19, it says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, it's shown in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, unbelievers, are without excuse. So in other words, people by nature have access to see who God is just by looking around them. God's wrath is against all ungodliness. And because mankind has foolish hearts, boy, they're darkened. And that wrath is coming indeed. This still begs the question, what about those sinners who have suppressed the righteousness of God as they've seen it in creation? What about those who've never heard of Christ? Okay? Do they still have a need? Remember that the Bible says, all have sinned. Now listen. This carpet was laid because the old carpet got old, right? That's what, when we relaid this fresh carpet, the old carpet was, it was scary. When we lifted the pews off of that old carpet, the outline of where the pews were was a very different color than the rest of the carpet. See, if I hold up that old carpet and I would ask you, is this carpet dirty? Of course. I said, now wait a minute. What if we have no vacuum cleaner or no rug cleaner, no way by which to clean this carpet? Is it still dirty? Yes. Just because a sinner filled with the dirt of sin has not heard of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that sinner is now clean. Still dirty. You see, that's the reality of people by nature. I'm a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by nature. We were all born into sin. If Christ chose never to come to this earth and save us, He would have been within his rights to do so. And we would still be in our sins, those of us who have believed in Christ. And a sinner's heart is dark, even if he hasn't heard of the Savior who can lighten that heart. The root of man's need lies not in whether or not he's heard of the Savior. The root of man's need lies in the fact that he's a sinner against God and has a darkened heart. And if those who have not heard the gospel are then not on their way to hell, then like I said, bringing the gospel could actually condemn them to hell if they hear and reject. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Everyone needs to hear the news of Jesus Christ. You see why missions is biblical, why it's important, why we have to take this message to those who need to hear it, which is everybody, okay? Do you know that even, you know, we talk about the Aborigine deep in the bush of Australia. What about your neighbor? You know, there are Americans who, though they have heard of Jesus Christ, have not heard of the gospel. This is proven to me all the time. You believe, how many times I ask a person, do you know why Jesus Christ came and died on that cross? Because everybody knows he did that. I ask, you know who Jesus Christ is? Well, of course. You know what he did on a cross? Yeah, he died. Okay, do you know why he did that? Good question. Your next door neighbor has not heard the gospel. And then I'll share the gospel, and you won't believe how many times I've heard people say, that's interesting, I've never heard that before. Live in America, celebrate Easter, celebrate Christmas, heard of Jesus Christ, use his name for a cuss word daily, have never heard the reason Jesus Christ came. To pay for the sins of the world, to pay for my sin, to pay for your sin. And through that payment, you may have eternal life if you'll stop trusting in whatever you're trusting in to get you saved and trust in Christ alone. People have not heard that. That's news. And that brings us behind to clear thought number three, and that is the hope behind missions. The hope behind missions. Okay? As we read in Romans 1, look again at verse 19. It says, because what may be known of God is manifest or known in them, for God has shown it. In other words, God has shown what people need to know about him. How? Verse 20. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. People can see that there's a God in heaven just by looking at his handiwork. That's what it's saying. You're surrounded by the fingerprints of God, and that's where the hope is found. This whole idea of intelligent design, that has been a buzzword in the scientific field for a while. Those honest, secular scientists who, after close examination of the world and the universe in which they live, draw the conclusion, there is too much design here for this to have happened by chance. Got to be an intelligent design behind this. Secular professors have lost their jobs at universities for making such statements. Okay, but it's just obvious we're surrounded by design. However, that design, the evidence of design, points to an almighty creator. It does not point to Jesus Christ as the Savior. How do you find that? You find that from the Word of God. And this is why we have a mission. This is why there is missions. People can see there's a God. What they need to see is that God's wrath is on its way. They need salvation. But that God is also loving, and he loved us by giving his only begotten Son to die on a cross and rise again from the dead and offer salvation to all who trust. He saves us by grace through our faith. People can't get that message from looking at the trees and nature. You get that from the Word of God. There's the mission, right? But there's hope. There's hope. You say, well, what about the one who never hears of Christ? Well, now, hold on. Let's take a look at the... I just want to point out something that Jesus Christ said in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, verse 17, he said, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine or the teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. What we get from that is that anybody who is to look at creation and say, I want to know this God. In other words, he or she has a will to know the God of creation. Jesus promised that person's going to know what God's will is. Testimony's been shared many times from villagers in some of the the Australian bush or the deep jungles of Africa or South America. And it goes like this, said one woman. She said, I grew up believing this little idol was my God that my grandfather carved. I was taught to believe this was my God that created me. And then I would go sit by the beach and I'd look at the ocean and I'd look at the sky and I'd look at the trees behind me. And I thought, this did not create all of this. Something bigger than this created me. And I want to know who that was. And then a couple of weeks later, the God who created all of this sent missionaries to my village and told me about his son, Jesus Christ, and I got saved. See, that testimony has been shared over and over and over and over and over again. See, there's the hope behind missions. We take the message to people. It's going to find people who will trust Jesus Christ and believe on him. So you see, missions is not a hopeless mission. Not a mission impossible. Missions for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a mission of success. Because Jesus Christ does not fail in what he sets out to do. We don't save anybody. Our missions and our missionaries save no one. We are saved by Jesus Christ. He is the reason behind missions, which means missions has a success rate. And God saves. We're saved. Anybody who's here today is saved. Because somebody set out on a mission to share the gospel. I'm on that mission right now. If you're not saved and you've been trusting in your own good actions to get you to heaven, or you've been trusting in something else, Jesus Christ says that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father but through Christ. Stop trusting in everything else. Trust in Christ. Trust in Christ alone. You can do that where you sit. You can say, I believe that because of my sin, I'm separated from God. And because of Jesus Christ, I can have forgiveness because of what he did on the cross. And you can say to God right now, I thank you, God, for sending your son to die for me. Thank you for saving me. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus. You can do that where you sit. And you will have come in here on the road to hell, but you will then leave a citizen of heaven forevermore. You can do that. That's what missions is all about.